Amen, amen. Thank you for that. We need to run to the Father. We need to run and hear what He has to say to us. Today in Sunday school, we talked about the authority that we look up to. And the Word of God is the authority on which we should run to hear what God has to say for each of us. Amen. So turn your Bibles to the book of 2 Kings. And we're going to be looking at two passages of Scripture in both of those books, 2 Kings 19 and 20. 2 Kings 19 and 20. Last week, we started a new series, and we were putting forth the truth that just as God moved in the past, He is still moving today. He is the eternal. He's self-existent. He is the all-powerful. He is the all-knowing God who refers to Himself as the I Am. And we're discovering in this series that just as God has not changed over time, He still speaks to us today. But today we're going to look at the fact that just as God called upon people to pray in the past, He promises to hear our prayers today. He's continuing to call us to pray because He still hears our prayers. So that's the topic of this and title of this message. How many of you have gotten invitations in the mail? We always get invitations. We get invitations to birthday parties, retirement parties, baby showers, bridal showers. We get sometimes an invitation in the mail, although it's outdated, to dinner. If I get an invitation to dinner, I'm not going to turn that down. Sometimes we get an invitation to a wedding for that special couple that we know that's getting ready to tie that knot. In some cases, we get invitations in the mail to increase our debt by filling out a credit card or a credit card application. And some of us, we fill that card out, that application out. Others throw that right in the trash and we discard it right away. We get invitations all the time. Receiving an invitation means that you've been thought of, that you've been included. And we want to be included. We want to be thought of. And today, we have an invitation before us that's an invitation to pray. It's one of the greatest of invitations of all time, and it's in Scripture, and it's given by God to His children, and it's an amazing invitation for us. It's amazing that the God of this universe invites us to know Him, to communicate with Him, to grow in our relationship with Him. And He promises that if we call upon Him, He will hear because He cares for us and He wants to help us. And He does that by calling us to pray. He invites us to call upon the name of the Lord. Let's listen to some of these verses. 1 Chronicles 16:8 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name." Pastor Kyle read Psalm 18:6. He writes, the psalmist, "In my distress I called upon the Lord. To my God I cried for help. From His temple He heard my voice, and my cry to Him reached His ears." Jeremiah the prophet writes in chapter 33:3, "Call to me, and I will answer you, and I will tell you the great and hidden things that you have not known." Acts 2:21 says, "And it shall come to pass that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved." So we're challenged to call upon the name of the Lord. And that's what we're here to do today. We're here to call upon the name of the Lord. Sadly, though, for the Christian, prayer is one of the most difficult things that a most difficult Christian discipline or practice that we have to do. As I've met with people over time, this is one of the areas of life that we seem to struggle with the most. We pray over our meals. We really don't have a problem with that. We pray and lift up a prayer for our loved ones, for our children, for their safety every now and then. That kind of seems easy for us to do. We ask the Lord to change our spouse. My wife prays that prayer a lot. To make them see, to make us see things that the way that they see them. We pray when we're confronted with an emergency or a crisis. Seems pretty natural for us to do that. But the regular practice of prayer, if we're honest, is hard. We ask questions like, why should I pray? Or what should I pray for? Well, we should be praying for solutions to those tough questions, those tough situations that we find ourselves in. We should be praying for strength to overcome those temptations that we fall against. We should be praying to receive wisdom. Does anyone need wisdom? Do we need wisdom? Why do we need wisdom? Well, let me answer that question. There are many voices out there vying for our attention, and we need wisdom to discern which voice we're to listen to. Is it the loudest voice that we should hear, that we should listen to? Well, the loudest voice is not necessarily the best voice for us to listen to. Our nation is about to enter into another political climate. There will be sound bites, and there will be rhetoric, and there will be personal attacks, all to sway our vote one way or another, in one direction or another. But as a Christian, we must vote our conscience. We must seek the Lord through prayer and ask for wisdom in making the right choice. So we need wisdom. We must seek the Lord. We need to trust the Lord and in His guidance. On your bulletin, you'll notice my verse that I was going to reference here, 2 Chronicles 7:14, that says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Amen. We need to humble ourselves. We need to seek the Lord. We need to pray to the Lord. And when we do those things, He will hear from heaven and He will heal our land. And we need our land to be healed and we need our hearts to be healed. How long should we pray? Every day. Pray, push, push, pray until something happens. And why pray? You know, a lot of times we wonder that, why to pray? Why should I pray if God knows everything, if God is in control of all things, if God knows the outcome before I even pray? What good does it do me? Why should I pray, and what will that change? We should pray because God is a compassionate Father. We need to pray. We should pray because God is just, because God is a good, good Father. We need to pray because Jesus prayed. He set the example for us. How did Jesus pray? Well, He prayed at different times in different places. He prayed early in the morning. He prayed at night. He prayed before major events in His life. He prayed when He was busy. He prayed often in solitude and in silence. He prayed away from the busyness of life. He prayed with empathy. He prayed out of love for God. He prayed based upon His knowledge of God and His truth. He prayed for Himself. He prayed for His disciples. And He prayed for all believers. He prayed His Father's will. So that should give us an example of things that we should pray and when we should pray and why it's important for us to pray as well. The early church prayed. Prayer changes things. Prayer changes us more importantly than changing things. I heard an interview this week, maybe you have as well. It was in light of this most recent shooting in Georgia. The reporter was interviewing the father of a child who died in the Stoneman Douglas shooting in 2018. He was on the road trying to get the gun laws changed. And he was asked to comment on this most recent shooting. And he said, legislators are calling for prayer. That sounds like a pretty good thing. But then he goes on to say, as if that is enough. And he continues, he says, it's time for action. He said this as if prayer cannot change anything. But I say we should pray and then we should act. It sounds to me like this man, I don't know him, but it sounds to me that this man does not know of God, that he does not know of the power of God, that he does not know that God hears and answers our prayers. We don't have all the answers. There's some crazy things happening out there in the world, but we know God knows and God cares and God has all the answers. It's through prayer that we enter into God's presence. And in that presence, we find rest in the Savior. So why do many of us then find it difficult to pray? Because our mind wanders. We're always thinking of something. There's always other things to do. There's things that need attending. And often when we're trying to be quiet, when we're trying to concentrate, when we're trying to focus on those things and have a relationship and a communication with God the Father, those things enter our mind and our minds wander. We also get bored. Does anybody find it they get bored with praying? We could be honest. We could be honest. Sometimes we want to take action. We want to do something. We think that it's a waste of time to pray. But God's word calls us to call upon the name of the Lord. Sometimes we don't do anything with it, though. Sometimes it's like that invitation that we get with those credit cards. We just toss that invitation in the trash, and we don't do anything with that invitation to pray. Today, I want us to see the beauty of serving a God who still hears. God still hears. And I want us to see the tragedy of many of us who don't take God at the opportunity that he gives us, that he offers us to pray. So 2 Kings 19 and 20 is our text. And in this text, we're going to see two prayers that a man named Hezekiah prayed. Hezekiah was the king of Judah at the time, and he was one of the few kings who had a heart bent toward the Lord. Most kings in those days were evil, and they were outdoing one another in their sin against God. But Hezekiah was different. In fact, let's look and see how he is described in chapter 18, verses 5 and 6. It says here in the word that he trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel, so that there was none like him among all the kings of Judah after him, nor among those who were before him. For he held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him, but he kept the commandments that the Lord commanded Moses. You'll see why this is important, but I want us to understand and mark the character of Hezekiah. Hezekiah had integrity. Hezekiah was a man of faith. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord. He followed him wholeheartedly. Now, does this mean that he was perfect? Well, we know that's not true. None of us are perfect. But he had it pretty good. He lived his life pretty well there. I want us to notice the prayer that Hezekiah prayed in chapter 19. Hezekiah was facing a national crisis. The king of Assyria decided to come against Jerusalem. And the second prayer in chapter 20 is in regard to his personal health crisis that he faced. So let's look then at 2 Kings chapter 19, and we'll look at 14 through 20. 2 Kings 19, 14 through 20. Hezekiah received a letter from the hand of the messengers. Letters basically taunted Hezekiah and God himself. He was coming to destroy Jerusalem and read it, and Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, the God of Israel, enthroned above the cherubim, you are the God, you alone, of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth. 16. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see, and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to mock the living God. Truly, O Lord, the king of Assyria have laid waste the nations and their lands, and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the works of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore they were destroyed. So now, O Lord our God, save us, please, from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you, O Lord, are God alone. Then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah, saying, Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, your prayer to me about Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. And then let's look at 2 Kings 20, verses 1 through 5. In those days, Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. And Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, Thus said the Lord, set your house in order. For you shall die, you shall not recover. Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, Now, O Lord, please remember how I have walked before you in faithfulness and with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight. And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, Turn back and say to Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus said the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Behold, I will hear you. I will heal you. On the third day, you shall go up to the house of the Lord. In both of these texts, Hezekiah prayed, and in both of these instances, God responded to his prayer. So I want to talk for a little bit about what is a healthy prayer. What does a healthy prayer consist of? What does it look like? A lot of times we think that a healthy prayer consists of following a bunch of rules. Do this, do that. If you do this, then that'll happen. If you do this, then God will hear my prayer, and God is obliged then to respond in the way that I prayed. But prayer is not some magical chant that we do in order to get God's attention. God is not like a genie, Mary. And prayer is not like rubbing the side of a lamp, hoping to get our answers to our prayer. So before we get to certain aspects of what prayer, the healthy prayer ingredients are, we need to understand that prayer in its most basic form is about our relationship with God. And what we learn from Hezekiah is Hezekiah had a proper, healthy posture. What do I mean by that? How did he pray? What was his posture? When you look through the Word of God, we see physical posture in regard to prayer as being pretty important. There are some ways that we can pray. Sitting, kneeling, lying prostrate. With our face toward the ground, sometimes we pray with hands lifted high. Many ways to pray. A woman was called to come to the home of asked her pastor to come to the home of her father. And he goes to the house not knowing whether the man is a Christian or not, but he notices that as he talks to them and him, and by the way that he answers, that he must be a Christian. He also notices that there's this empty chair sitting close by, an empty chair. And he asks, what's the chair for? And the man said, well, I tell you, but I won't tell my daughter. She'll think it's crazy. He said, I've always had trouble praying. I knew a man in my early years who said to me, all you need to do is put an empty chair in front of you, and prayer is nothing more than talking with God. So why don't you imagine talking to God sitting in that chair just like you would me and you? So he said he put an empty chair in there and started talking to the chair as if God was there. And it got so good that he just does it for hours at a time. He talks to God and God talks to him. And he said, if I tell my daughter, she'll think I'm losing my mind. Some months later, the man died. And when the pastor came to visit the family, he said to the daughter, well, how did he die and what happened to him? She said, well, the sickness finally got him, but the way we found him was strange. When I came in, he was dead, but there's a chair sitting beside the bed that I noticed he had pushed himself out of the bed, put his head in the chair, and he died there with his head in the chair. So posture matters. Think about what was just described here. This man was about to die. He cared so much about his relationship with God that he crawled out of his deathbed and put his head in the chair that represented his relationship with the Lord because he wanted to die in the lap of his Savior. What a beautiful picture. So our posture matters. Posture is to prayer as tone is to communication. If what we say is important, posture is important to our prayer. Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and he spread it before the Lord, his need, what he was in his distress, all that he was dealing with. Then he turned his face to the Lord, to the wall, and he prayed to the Lord, and then he wept bitterly. In both of those instances, Hezekiah's posture demonstrated humility and brokenness. So we are to be humble before the Lord. We are to be broken before the Lord as we pray. The Bible says that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Hezekiah was the king. He knew his position. He knew who he was. But he realized there was someone greater than he was. He prayed, understood that he was not God. And I think a lot of times we need to do the same thing. We need to understand that we are not God, and we need to be humble, and we need to be broken, and we need to embrace those characteristics. So what are some reasons why God may not respond to our prayer? Well, the first one is unbelief. It's a form of pride. The psalmist writes in chapter 10, verse 4, in the pride of his face, the wicked does not seek him. All his thoughts are, there is no God. Why pray if there is no God? I find it interesting that there are many who do not profess faith in God, but in times of crisis will offer up a prayer to the God who they don't think exists. But there's unbelief for the Christian as well. This unbelief can keep God from answering our prayer. James writes in chapter 1, verse 6 and 8, but let him ask in faith, with no doubting. But the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. When we pray, we must pray in belief, knowing that God hears our prayers. Another reason why God may not respond to our prayers is selfishness. What we are asking for may not be for God's glory or may not be for His will, according to His will. Instead, we ask for selfish motives, praying for the wrong reasons. And James 4:3 says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your own passions. We're not praying as Jesus did, your will be done. We pray for our will. Another hindrance to prayer is disobedience. What does the Bible say about disobedience as it relates to prayer? Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, or his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear." When we choose to live in willful sin, when we choose to be habitual in our sin, that sin will cause a drop call every single time. One more reason that God may not respond to our prayer are fractured relationships. Matthew writes, "So if you're offering your gift and you go to the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come offer your gift." Peter writes, "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." Sometimes we have fractured relationships with one another, and those fractured relationships hinder our prayers to God. And he says to us many times, go, make things right so that your prayers can be heard and answered. God always hears our prayers, but he doesn't always answer. Every one of these, unbelief, selfishness, disobedience, fractured relationships, are all a form of pride. So as we think about this morning, we need to take an honest assessment of ourselves. Is there something you're asking God to do, but deep on the inside, you're skeptical or you wonder if God can do it? Maybe you just need to make a prayer right now and asking God to help your unbelief. Maybe you need to ask God, pray and ask God to give you a desire for his will over your will. Ask him to search your motives and your heart and see if you're seeking God's glory or the glory of self. Maybe it's just a confession of sin you need to deal with and God is not responding and you know it's because of some sin in your life that you're cherishing, that you're holding on to, that you're clinging to, and you need to let go of that sin today. Maybe it's a fractured relationship. There's a distance between you and someone else, you and your spouse. I want you to know something. God is still in the hearing business. But we have to come to him with a healthy posture and a humble heart before we can hear from him. Hezekiah was by no means perfect. But he trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. He held fast to the Lord. He did not depart from following him. He humbled himself. He knew that God was with him. He trusted in God. He had a proper perspective. He knew that whatever he prayed, that God would answer according to God's perfect plan. And he trusted in that answer, however God delivered or whatever God said. So when we pray, we need to ask God. We need to ask God for whatever is on our heart. In this instance, he prayed for more life. He was told that he would die, and he prayed for extension, if you will. And God gave him 15 more years. You know, if I was Hezekiah, I might be thinking, wow, couldn't you have done more for me? Why only 15? Why not 20? We start bargaining with God. But here we see no sign of him doubting or debating or being discouraged by the answer that God gave him? What do we do when we hear no? When God says no, and sometimes he does say no to us. We need to understand that God is sovereign, that God is in control, and God knows better. Father knows best. Isaiah writes in chapter 55, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." He's altogether different from us. God is always working, and we need to have a proper posture, and we need to have a proper perspective. So now this is the time where the rubber hits the road. This is confession time. This is where we align our hearts to God's word and we reflect upon what we've heard and what he said to us. In John, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, we hear these words, that we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's good for us to take a self-examination, not to look at your neighbor or your spouse, but to look at your life and to see where you are. Are there things that you need to change as you reflect upon your life, as you reflect upon the decisions you've made, as you look upon the motives of your heart, the paths that you have taken? We need to understand that none of us have arrived. We've all experienced the incredible grace of God. We've experienced the love of God, and we've experienced the mercy of God if you are a child of God. Hezekiah was so broken. He wept. He didn't even know how to pray. It doesn't share the words that he said, but we know that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us and makes understandings of the groanings of our heart when we don't even know what to pray for. And maybe you're here today and your heart is so heavy that you don't even know how to pray. You can't pray. I want you to know that God hears your heart. God knows what you're going through. God understands your questions and your doubts. And God wants you to come to him. God speaks and God hears. And God hears all that you're going through, even when we don't know what to pray for. So I want us to think about this morning. As we close, as we respond to the word, as we respond to the call that God has given each of us, are there any here today that need to call upon the name of the Lord? Maybe you're here and you know that there's something missing in your life. There's a void in your heart that you can't fill. You've tried to fill it with so many different things, but all you walk away with is an emptiness and a void. Maybe you have a fractured relationship that needs bending. It all begins with getting things right with God. We do that by first asking God to forgive us of our sins. And we try to live a life that is pleasing to God. We need to cry out to him because he hears our cries. Fellow believer, are you taking it to the Lord in prayer? Is there unbelief? Is there selfishness? Is there disobedience? Are there fractured relationships that keep your prayers from being answered? Remember that God is always hearing, but sometimes the calls get dropped. So maybe you just need to come to the altar and pray and open up that line of communication again. So if there's a decision you need to make today for the Lord, don't put it off. We've talked about so many different things that hinder our prayers. And if you're experiencing any of those, come and just share those things so that we can pray together. And if you're here today without the Lord as your Savior, I pray and ask you to make that decision to come forward and let me pray that prayer for you. You pray and I'll just show you in the Word of God what the Word of God says. So as we get ready to sing this invitation, don't put off what the Holy Spirit's prompting you to do. Every day there's decisions to make, and there's none more important than salvation and getting things right with the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we're so grateful for today. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for the promise that you hear our prayers and for the reasons why we don't pray and bringing those to light and the things that keep our prayers from being answered. Lord, I just pray, God, that there would be some decisions today, Lord, that we would make things right, that we would want to hear from you because you have much to say to us. And those things are just a bunch of noise unless we have a right relationship with you. So, Father, I pray your perfect will would be done as we get ready to sing this hymn of invitation. This is your call. This is your invitation. And I pray, God, that we would be responsive and obedient to that which you've laid upon each of our hearts today. And we just pray for a good result. And I'd ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So please stand, and we're going to sing this hymn. If there's a decision you need to make, don't put it off. Come forward, come talk to me, and let's celebrate together the love of God.